Turn with me. Let me read it for you. Psalm 119:6. When I look into all your commandments, you know. So Psalmist said he's looking into all the commandments. So God wants full obedience, not partial obedience. He doesn't want half-hearted obedience. Remember, Matthew 23:23, Jesus told, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. This you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." They like some parts, not all the others. God doesn't want, He wants all the commandments that's for us to obey. So we need to obey everything. Alright, let's see another ingredient. Obedience must be sincere. Very important point. Most of these things are really speaking to the heart. Okay? Obedience must be sincere. Must be true, genuine. That means we want to give glory to God. Everything what we do. Everything what we obey is for God's glory. That we should have a clean conscience in our obedience to God. As all glory belongs to God. That means by obedience to God in our service, our motive has to be innocent and pure. Not a double motive. We should not be looking for popularity or to receive applause from the people. Of course, there are many preachers who get applause for their sermons and who want to be the spotlight. And the focus is set on the preacher rather than the Word of God. Whatever the preacher says, it goes because they are focusing on the preacher. Popularity. If you are looking for popularity, you have already received your reward here on earth. Jesus said, Matthew 6:2, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets. They may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have received their reward." Our obedience got to be sincere. Not looking for people to see what we are doing so people will say, "Oh, look at this person. Look at that person." It has to be sincere. With a pure heart. Giving all the glory to God. Obedience must be in Christ. We can never obey without Christ. Obedience must be in Christ. The end of our obedience. The actions may look right. What about our hearts? Huh? The actions may look right. But we need to look our hearts. It has to be in Christ. Let me explain to you as I go along. If you turn with me to 2 Chronicles 2. 2 Chronicles 25:2. It says here, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Hey, actions may look good, but what about the heart? Huh? So obedience must be in Christ Jesus. Because I'll tell you, it was not our obedience that God is going to accept us. In our sense, we cannot fully obey without Christ. We need Christ. We need Christ in our obedience, because God is not going to accept your obedience. No. He is going to accept the obedience of Christ. Because it was not our obedience that God accepted us anyway. God accepted us because of whose obedience? Christ's obedience. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, 1:6 gives the answer. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us what? Accepted. God accepted us in the Beloved. God accepted us in Christ, in His obedience, not in our obedience. So the obedience must be in Christ. You understand? Very important point. That means when we worship God, it has to be in Christ. That means when we pray, it has to be in Christ. That means when we work, do any kind of service, witnessing, it has to be in Christ. That means we present anything to God, it has to be in Christ. We will provoke God if we come in our own confidence to God. Without Christ, God will be provoked. Okay? And so obedience has to be in Christ's finished work and His merits, not in our flesh. All have to be done in Christ Jesus, not ourselves. We cannot do anything without Christ. That's the difference between the cults and the false religions. Because in the Old Testament, we see people cannot go to God without a priest. Huh? There has to be a priest. And the priest represented the people to God. And in the same way, we need to present Christ as, because He is our mediator. Because it was His merit and His obedience that God accepted us. Let me give you a little story here. If you turn with me to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 this time. If you are still on 2 Chronicles, go to chapter 26. Chronicles 26. Let's start with... can you remember Isaiah, chapter 6, Isaiah saw the Lord seated on the... And King Uzziah died and he ruled in Jerusalem for about 50 odd years. It's the same king we are talking here, okay? So for you to get a better understanding. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Starting from verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Talking about King Uzziah. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Verse 17, Azariah, the priest, went after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. Verse 18, and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, you shall have no honor before the Lord God. When Uzziah became furious, he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. While he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord has struck him. Let me tell you, why was God angry with King Uzziah? Because he went in his own confidence to the temple without the high priest, without the priest, to burn incense. He wanted to be obedient, but without the priest, in his own confidence. This is pride and arrogance. God struck him with leprosy. Obedience must be in Christ. Otherwise, there's arrogance. It has to be in Christ. Last one, obedience must be constant. It's a continual obedience. Psalm 106 verse 3 says, "Blessed are those who keep justice and who does righteousness at all times." Psalm 106 verse 3. So obedience is like a fire, never goes out. If you remember in Leviticus chapter 6 verse 13, in the altar there was a fire, there was a candle. So the fire will be burning and it shall never go out. In the same way, our obedience to the Lord is a continual obedience. It's a constant obedience. Now the hypocrites, they obey only for a season. Only for a short while there is obedience. Not a continual obedience. That's how you know a hypocrite and a true Christian. Though we may meet lot of affliction, lot of hardship, lot of trials. But the obedience must keep on going with all the afflictions, with all the hardship, with all the trials. Obedience will keep on going, trusting in the Lord. It's like the fire burning in the altar. It will not go up. If you remember Job chapter 17 verse 9, says, "Yet the righteous will hold on to his way." Job 17:9. "The righteous will hold on to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger." Become even stronger and stronger. So, that's how you know who is a hypocrite, who is not a true Christian, and a true Christian is. Whatever trial it comes in your way, the hardship, the difficulty, we will run. We will carry on. We will not give up. We as Christians, we have bowed down to Christ. And we have forsaken the world and we will fight under Christ's banner, even to death. That is obedience. We will not bow down to the world. We will bow down, we have bowed down to Christ. And we will fight under the banner of Christ, even to death. Well, wasn't that the motto of the early Christianity? They never bowed down to the world, the true Christians. Even when they said, "Okay, now we are going to put you to the lions to be eaten alive. Let the lions eat us." We will never forsake our God. That's true Christianity. The world, our enemy, bow down to Caesar, you can have all the pleasures. They say, no, we will never bow down to the pleasures of this world. So when a servant has entered, we as Christians have entered into a covenant with our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we go back and serve the world? We must serve our Master for the time He has given us until we die. So He has, because Christ has made a new covenant with us, a covenant with blood. And that covenant is renewed in what? How? When we take communion. We renew that covenant until it comes. And also in baptism. So that's why the Lord's Supper, we are renewing that, our faithfulness and our constant obedience to the Lord. Therefore, we should and must imitate Christ. Where does that say? Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, right? We must imitate Christ, who became even obedient to death. So we need to run the race. Obedience must be constant, continual. We need to run the race. Until where? To the end. We have to be like how Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight, run the race and kept the faith. I have finished. I am ready to be taken. Wow. What a man. And what a fight he put up. Huh? It was not a freeway for Paul, huh? That's not easy. He was stoned, shipwrecked, ridiculed, mocked, went through everything. Even within his own, he went through. Even his very people that he can trust, they left him away. In prison, man, he ran the race. How did he run? He ran when things came bad. Did he stop? Oh, getting too tough. I got to find an exit now. Is there any detour? Nothing like that. Running the race to the end. That is obedience. In Revelation chapter 2, 26 says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give the power over the nations. And verse 28 says, I will give him the morning star. He who overcomes to the until the end is the endurance, running the race with endurance, with patience. Now, disobedience will send people to hell. You know, in the Old Testament, you see in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Isaiah, when God called them to preach the word of God, it was not an easy task. They were not very popular because people were looking. People didn't want to hear what they had to say because the word was hurting. The word was very hurting because Jeremiah, Isaiah, they were coming on the sins of the people. And if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 44 verse 15, his people heard the word of God. Jeremiah 44:15. They still did not want to obey the Lord. 44:15. Says here, then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt in Patros, answered Jeremiah, saying, verse 16, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. See that? There are many people, they hear the word, they will not listen. That's disobedience. I'm sure it hurt Jeremiah emotionally. These people knew their duty towards God, and yet they became arrogant, because they wanted to continue their rituals and their pleasures of that day. They became rebellious towards God. They continued in disobedience as they loved their sins, as the sins were more pleasurable to the flesh and it is more exciting. But they did not know that hell was following them to their grave. So knowing the word of God and being disobedient, man, that enemy is so good, huh? He's a mastermind in that. He's a deceiver. And he has deceived many people. So we need to deny our lusts and obey God. Can you remember in Luke chapter 12 verse 47, Jesus said, Luke 12:47, Jesus said, and that servant who knew his master's will, Luke 12:47, that servant, he knew the master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will. Luke 12:47. And he shall be beaten with many stripes. Because he knew. They hear the word of God. The worst thing is this. You're hearing the word of God. You don't want to obey. That's the worst thing. It's the same thing what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. They heard it. They didn't want to obey. I tell you, that's why we need to fall down at our feet. Ask God for mercy and give strength to obey. And because our flesh wants to overrule our spirit all the time, it's a battle going on. We need to crucify this flesh. And on that day when the Lord came, Luke 12:47, you know, he knew his master's will, but he was not prepared. On that day, you cannot tell God, I was too busy, God. That's not going to cut it. Cannot say, I was too busy. It doesn't cut it. We have no excuse on that day. Listen, need to redeem the time. Can say I was too busy, you see, or what? Sins and your pleasures. You have the time to go and have pleasures. Watching TV and all kinds of pleasures. But this book, you didn't have time, huh? You didn't have time to obey. So we need to understand the Ten Commandments is the moral law. It is not abolished. It still continues. Only the ceremonial law was abolished. So we need to go back to the roots. And we need to have our standard of living should be our standard of living should be according to the Ten Commandments. That's how we should live. If you take the Ten Commandments out, the rule of living you take out, then you put your own lifestyle to that. Or you take somebody else's. You take the rule of living out, then you gotta put something else there. So the rule of living is the Ten Commandments. That's the moral law in very summary that is given. And I'll tell you, the more we study and the more we try to live the Ten Commandments, I realize what a wretched sinner I am. The more I realize my sinfulness towards God, the more I realize what a sinner I am, then tears can fall to my eyes and I can pray to God in a very fervent prayer to the Lord. And I can embrace and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what He did for me on the cross, for His grace and for His mercy. And I will avoid sin because I love my Lord Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Obey my command. So that's why it's so important, the Ten Commandments. See, it's not nine commandments. It's Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath day, is there. Otherwise, we should put Nine Commandments, because Sabbath is not there. Sabbath day is a day that to be kept holy, to get away from all our worldliness, worldly thoughts, and everything. We don't work, and we come here. And we come and worship the Lord, we sing praises, we eat together, and after that we serve the Lord, and we fellowship together as a family until we go home. That's the Sabbath day. Not coming to church just for 2 hours. I gotta go to church now. Where's my Bible? Gotta go to church, you know. Go to church for 2 hours, put your tithing. So, I did my job in church, now I can go to mowing, I can watch my TV game, you know, I can do that, and shopping, and all my stuff. Sunday, that's my work. So, Sunday is divided, 2 hours in church, the balance belongs to me. That's not the Sabbath day. That's not how the early church spent the Sabbath day. So, it is the Ten Commandments. So, we will continue, but obedience is the most important thing in Ten Commandments. Obedience. Remember that. Let's pray.